Praise the Lord, everyone. Wonderful to see all of you here this morning, and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Praise God. We're going to open with a prayer before we do anything else. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this morning, thanking thee for thy goodness, for thy mercy, for thy grace. We thank thee, O God, for this privilege to be here in thy presence. We ask, O God, for thy spirit to be here. We pray, O God, that we would all feel thy presence here this day. We pray that we'd all feel a touch from thee here this day. We ask, O God, that thou would take charge of this service here today and lead us in everything that we do. We pray that each and everything we do here this morning would be pleasing in thy sight. And we pray, O God, that thy blessing and thy anointing would be here. We ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name. Through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Well, we are going to start in the chorus books this morning. Praise God. Let's open to number 11 and sing Let's Just Praise the Lord. Number 11. Let's just praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise. Our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven. Our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. We're going to turn now to number 83 and sing From the Rising of the Sun, number 83.
From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. From the rising of the sun is to be
God. Well, we are going to turn now to number 44 in the chorus book and sing Give Unto the Lord, number 44.
Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Glory and strength, give unto the Lord the glory to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Glory and strength, give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship
you, Jesus. Praise God. We're going to open our hymnals now and turn to number one. All hail the power of Jesus' name. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. Turn now to number 198 and sing Jesus Saves, number 198. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Now, number 175, and sing "He is able to deliver thee." Number 175. Wonderful to know we do serve a God who is able to deliver us. Praise the Lord. What would we do without Him? Praise God. We would be so helpless and lost without the Lord. But thank God He is with us, and He does strengthen His people, and He does help His people. So praise God for that. We are going to take up the collection now. John, would you be able to help us with that today? Thank you, sir. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank Thee this day for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee, Lord, for all that Thou hast done. And we believe, O God, that Thou wilt continue to lead us. We ask for Thy guidance. We ask for Thy direction. We ask for Thy great wisdom, Lord. Direct us in all things and reveal to us Thy perfect plan. Give us the wisdom we need on how these funds should be used for Thy purpose, for Thy glory. We pray, O God, that Thou would bless the givers here this morning and also bless those who are unable to give. And we pray, Lord, that Thou would continue to use this ministry as Thou would and lead us, O God, by Thy mighty hand, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to sing one more song before we open our Bibles this morning. We're going to turn to number 43 and sing Count Your Blessings. Number 43.
When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the crossing heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. When you think at others with their wealth and gold, think that Christ has promised you His wealth untold. Count your many blessings, money cannot buy, your reward in heaven or your home on earth. God hath done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings in them. Name them that hath done. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Well, it is time for us to open our Bibles this morning. Praise God. And I do want to thank all of you for your prayers. It's been an interesting week. I'm still recovering from that eye surgery that was done on my right eye. I believe that was on the 3rd. And my vision is still quite blurry, actually, especially close-up things, and I have a lot of trouble reading text. So that'll be interesting. It was interesting last week, too, and it'll be interesting again this week, because obviously I need to read text today, so I'm trusting that the Lord will help me. But it's been interesting, and I haven't been able to do a lot of my work because of my vision. It's hard to look at a computer screen, and I know that some of you who are listening maybe have wondered why I haven't updated the website with the latest messages, and the reason for that is I just haven't really been able to do it because of my vision so far, but I'm trusting that the Lord will give me the strength to do that soon, and I'm sorry for the delay. My vision is getting somewhat better, but it's just, it's a process, and actually they said it could take up to 2 weeks for my vision to return to normal. And if after 2 weeks it doesn't get back to normal, I might have to go back to the eye doctor and get prescribed some new glasses, because it's interesting. Right now, a lot of times I can actually read text a little easier if I take my glasses off, which is very strange to me. Because I always wear my glasses. I'm so used to having them, so it feels weird to take them off. But, yeah, it's been a week of adjustment. And, of course, I've had to change my diet, and I've been trying to walk and exercise every day, and that's been going fairly well. They did put me on some medication, which is also working out so far, although it's taken some adjustment to get used to that, too. But I have changed the way I eat quite a bit, and I've already lost a few pounds, but of course part of that might be from the medication that they put me on. But it's different, you know. I'm eating things that I'm not used to eating, and you know, sometimes you crave things that you used to eat a lot of and you can't really have anymore, so it's different. And you know, I like Snickers bars just as much as the next guy, but I like my eyesight more. So I've been trying to eat well, very, very low carb. And actually, the other day, my wife made some low-carb chicken pot pie with almond flour for a crust, and it was very good. It was very, very good. It was extremely filling, though. I'm not used to almond flour yet. It's very filling. But anyway, I just keep me in prayer, and I know the Lord is going to get me through this and help me. And I'm just trusting in Him to just lead me every step of the way. So praise God. We are going to open our Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'm putting a title on this message today. We're calling this The Glory That Should Follow. The Glory That Should Follow. 1 Peter chapter 1. And before we read even one verse today, we're going to pray one more time. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this morning, thanking thee for thy goodness. We thank thee for this blessed book that we can open and study. We thank thee for this blessed book that we can learn from. We thank thee for this word by which thou hast revealed thyself to us. And we pray, Lord, that as we look upon this blessed scripture, we pray, Lord, that thou would do a work in our hearts. We pray, O God, that thou would change us for the better. We pray, O God, that we would be inspired to follow Thee more closely, to be obedient to the prompting of Thy Spirit and to Thy call. Help us, O God, to be strengthened by Thee, even in times of weakness. For we know, O God, that Thou strengthenest Thy people. We ask, O God, that Thou would give us great strength in the days ahead, for we know that we need it so very much. We know that there are many struggles in this life. We know that there are many afflictions in this life, Lord. And we pray, God, that Thou would help and strengthen Thy people. We pray, Lord, that Thou would inspire us this day. And we pray, Lord, that there would be no hindrances here this morning, but we bind and we break any force of darkness or any hindering power that would come against us. For we know, O God, that Thou art sovereign. We know, O God, that Thou art in total control. We bind and we break any devils that would dare try to come and interfere today, Lord. We pray, O God, that Thou would give us ear to hear, eyes to see, hearts that would perceive and understand. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. You know, we live in a world today that is filled with a lot of pain. We live in a world today that is filled with a lot of struggles. And if you've been struggling with anything recently, I hate to tell you this, but that doesn't make you unique. Because the fact of the matter is, everybody in this world struggles. For one reason or another. And sometimes we might look at people and it seems like they have everything, but they have struggles that we may not see. There might be conflict inside them that we don't know about. Everyone struggles, no matter how rich or famous or powerful they may be. But God's people also struggle. And we shouldn't expect that we wouldn't in this life. Because when you look at the Bible, you see stories of people all over the Old Testament who had struggles. Of course, the Lord helped them. The Lord delivered them, but they did struggle. And you can read in the New Testament how so many people struggled. You can read about the Apostle Paul and his struggles, which were many. And of course, the Apostle Peter also struggled greatly. But there was a verse that really inspired this whole message today in 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to be getting to that verse shortly. It's a verse that I'd never really quite noticed the way it impacted me last night when I was studying for this message. But as I read this chapter, something occurred to me, and that is that our faith was founded on suffering. The suffering of our Savior. Without His suffering, we would not be here today. There would be no believers at all if not for the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, really, the church was built on His suffering, what He did for us, how He went to that cross and took our sins upon Himself and died on that cross and rose again victorious from the grave. Oh, there was so much suffering. And even before they put Him on that cross, they nailed a crown of thorns to His head and the blood gushed down. Oh, that is some anguish. That is some suffering. But our faith is built on suffering. And when you think about what Jesus had to go through and how He suffered, it should not be a surprise to us today that we too are going to suffer in this life. If He suffered, then we should too. And really, our suffering is nothing in comparison to what He suffered for us. But 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to start with verse 1. It tells us, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. You see, you can have that grace and you can have that peace when the blood of Jesus Christ has been sprinkled upon you and you have been cleansed from every iniquity, from every sin. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Oh yes, we have an inheritance to look forward to, an inheritance that never fades away, an inheritance that is eternal, an inheritance that is reserved in heaven. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. You know, we look at that word temptation and we maybe think of specific things. Temptation to perhaps commit fornication or adultery, or temptation to commit various sins, and temptation to lie, temptation to cheat, temptation to steal. But there are other ways you could be tempted too, and one of the ways people are tempted sometimes is they're tempted to just give up, to give in. And we need to make sure we never do that. Yes, we are going to suffer, and we are going to see in today's message that the Apostle Paul suffered greatly too, more than we can even imagine. But even he didn't suffer as much as our Lord Jesus Christ. So there are many manifold temptations, and there are many ways that we are in heaviness, and that happens quite frequently because we live in a fallen world that is saturated with sin. But thank God we have this place where we can come together and be in his presence and escape the pollutions of this world, even if just for a little while. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know, people think of gold as something that's timeless, something lasting, something that doesn't frequently get destroyed. But I tell you what, gold does get destroyed sometimes. It can be destroyed, and it will be destroyed when this planet burns up. Gold is not going to be everlasting in this world, although we do know that when we get to heaven, we'll enjoy the streets of gold, and that gold will be eternal. But unlike the gold in this world that people are so eager to obtain, and you can also apply that to wealth and money, we have our faith, which actually, as we suffer, the more we suffer, the stronger we get. The stronger our faith becomes, as long as we just never give up. As long as we continue to endure, your faith will get stronger. You will get stronger. You will be a stronger Christian, and your struggles, your sufferings will do that for you. Because the more we suffer, the closer we get to Jesus, the one who suffered so much for us. Praise God. Oh yes, he can relate to our suffering, but we can't really, truly relate to his. Yet the more we do suffer in this world, the closer we grow to him, the more like him we become, as long as we never give up that faith in him. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Even in our sufferings and our struggles, we can have that joy unspeakable and full of glory. That joy that you can't even express with words. And that is a joy that the Lord Jesus gives to us. No one else can give you that joy, and you won't find it in anything else in this world. Only Jesus can give that joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. That will be the culmination of your faith. You know, when you get to heaven and you see Jesus, you behold him face to face, you won't have to have faith that you're going to spend eternity with him anymore, because you will be there. Your faith will be realized. Your faith will be fulfilled. That will be the end result of your faith. Verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Oh yes, those prophets of old, they looked, they longed for the coming of the Messiah, the Savior. And they didn't have the benefits that we have now, that we're able to look back on what Jesus did for us, and that we are able to be recipients of his Spirit and able to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I tell you what, the prophets of old would have loved that. And you can read many times in the Old Testament, it talks about the prophets, how the Spirit of God came upon them. But now in the New Covenant, when he gives us the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, is in us. And that's even better. But those prophets of old, they looked for the Messiah. They looked for Jesus. They searched diligently and they prophesied of the grace that was coming, the salvation that was coming. Verse 11, and this is the verse that really impacted me last night. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. People wonder sometimes, why do I have to suffer so much? Well, why did Jesus have to suffer so much? So that the glory could follow. And when we suffer, and when we endure, the glory will follow. But without the sufferings, that glory does not follow. You see, sometimes sufferings are a necessary and needful thing. And like I said before, if Jesus had not suffered for us, we would not be here today. So we should thank him every day for what he has done for us and how he suffered for us. Because he did that, we can be recipients of the glory that followed. Praise God. Now there was a man named the Apostle Paul, who was also known as Saul of Tarsus, and he understood suffering. He experienced a lot of it. We are going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And the Apostle Paul is going to tell us about some of the sufferings that he endured. Now, the Apostle Paul was a man who, he ministered to a lot of churches. He founded a lot of churches. He had a lot of responsibilities. And he had some trouble in the Corinthian church. He had his critics there. These people didn't always like him. They were very critical of him. And in this second book of Corinthians, we find the Apostle Paul, although he's reluctant to do so and he feels foolish doing it, he's forced to defend himself to these Corinthian people. And one of the ways he does that is he informs them of the many sufferings that he had endured for the cause of Christ. This man was no wimp. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to begin with verse 18, which tells us, "Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise." And that may have been a little tongue-in-cheek there. "For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face." Paul here is telling these Corinthians, you people put up with a lot of things. Things that are much worse than what you deem to be my faults, and yet they were very critical of the Apostle Paul. Verse 21, "I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak, howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also." In other words, he's saying he feels foolish even having to defend himself in this manner. But he needed to set the record straight with these Corinthian people. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. And of course, we know that the Apostle Paul was a very unique man in that he was Jewish, he was an Israelite, but he also had Roman citizenship. So that allowed him to access certain benefits that normally wouldn't be available to the typical Jewish person. And that's one of the reasons God was able to use him so mightily. And God set that up. That was all part of God's plan. And of course, the Apostle Paul had been raised as a Pharisee, a devout religious man, and he forsook all of that. He said he counted it all as dung. And why is that? For the cause of Christ. He knew he had found something far better than all of that religious stuff. So verse 23 tells us, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, say one." You know, that's hard to imagine, being whipped, having your back ripped open, being hit with that whip 39 times. Well, the Apostle Paul endured that 5 times. Can you imagine what his back must have looked like? The scars? Oh, I'm sure it wasn't pretty, but he wore those scars for the Lord Jesus, and there is beauty in that. Verse 25, "Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep." You know, we feel sorry for ourselves sometimes, but I have a feeling that all of us here today and all of those who are going to hear this message later, we have not endured anything close to what the Apostle Paul endured, and yet he never gave up. He never lost his faith. In fact, with each struggle, with each suffering, his faith got stronger. Verse 26, "In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren." That's a lot of perils. And there are a lot of perils in this world. And we know that for us too, we experience a lot of those same perils, a lot of those same dangers, False brethren. Oh yes, there are many false brethren in this world. People who purport to be Christians, but eventually their true colors come out, and it's surprising sometimes the things that are revealed about people. But there are many dangers in this world, many perils, and the Apostle Paul experienced them extensively. In weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Oh, he experienced a lot, didn't he? So many things, so much pain, so much misery. He knew what it felt like to be hungry. He knew what it felt like to be thirsty. He knew what it felt like to be cold and naked. Beside these things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. You know, he endured a lot. And with everything else that he endured, he also had to care for the churches, which was an enormous responsibility. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. He's saying, I really have nothing to brag about, nothing to glory in, but if I'm going to glory in anything, it's going to be my infirmities. Yes, he had some. And we're going to read a little about that in the next chapter too. Verse 31, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Well, that was rather undignified, wasn't it? But he had to endure many things. And he had to endure many indignities. And yet he did it. Why? Because he loved Jesus. And he knew that Jesus suffered for him, and so he was willing to suffer too. You have to admire his guts. None of this stopped him from doing what he was doing. In fact, it built his faith, and he grew stronger. All of these sufferings. Chapter 12, and we're going to start with verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And in this verse, it sounds a little strange the way he's wording it, but he's actually talking about himself here. But rather than use his own name, he's saying a man. Because he was a very humble person, and he felt strange defending himself to these Corinthians. He didn't want to come off as bragging, and yet this was needful for him to do this because there were things that these people needed to understand. So here he is talking about being caught up to the third heaven, and he is talking about himself here. Verse 3, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. So he's saying he was caught up to the third heaven and he experienced things that we can't even imagine. He saw things that we can't even comprehend. What he's saying here, he's not sure if his whole body went or if it was more of an out-of-body experience. He's saying here he doesn't know, he's not quite sure, but God knows. Verse 4, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. He couldn't even repeat what he heard in heaven, and that must have been really something, but someday we'll have the opportunity to hear those same things. Verse 5, of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. You see, he's reluctant to share the story because he doesn't want people to think too highly of him. Verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure, and this is how we know that he was talking about himself. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, those revelations he received in heaven, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. There was something wrong with the Apostle Paul. He had an infirmity. And he doesn't quite specify what that infirmity is. But I think we might actually be able to figure out, or at least make a pretty good guess as to what that infirmity was, that thorn in the flesh that he spoke of. People ask that so many times, what do you think that was? Well, let's look at Galatians chapter 4 for a moment. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, and starting with verse 13, it tells us, ye know how, through infirmity of the flesh, I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Now, he's not saying here that he's an angel, but he's saying that these people in Galatia, when he first preached to them, they were so eager to receive him, to receive what he was saying, that they treated him almost as if he was an angel. But he had an infirmity. And what is that? Verse 15 tells us, where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. So I believe the Apostle Paul had a problem with his eyes. And I believe that that was the thorn in the flesh that he spake of. People ask sometimes, what do you think that was? Well, this is what I think it was. And I tell you what, that's something that I can relate to very strongly right now. But I believe he had trouble with his eyesight. And I believe Galatians chapter 4 bears that out. Now, I'm not saying with absolute certainty that that is the case, that that is what he's referring to in 2 Corinthians, but I think it's a fairly good guess, and it's the best one we can make based on what the Word of God tells us. And if you want to be absolutely sure, you can ask him someday when we get to heaven and you meet him face to face. So, praise God. But I think it's interesting that in Galatians it talks about his infirmity there, and it was a problem with his eyes. So he had that thorn in the flesh. It tells us in verse 7, and verse 8 tells us, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know, he had this infirmity, he had this affliction, and he asked the Lord three times to take it away from him, and the Lord didn't take that affliction from him. He didn't take that infirmity, but rather God's response to him was, my grace is sufficient for thee. And God didn't take that infirmity from the Apostle Paul because that infirmity made him stronger. His strength was made perfect in weakness. And it's so true. Sometimes when we suffer, we just feel so much closer to the Lord Jesus. We have to rely on him each and every day. Sometimes when things are going too well, when things are too easy, we don't think about them as much as we should. We don't pray as much as we should. We don't read the Word as much as we should. But here we see God actually used this infirmity to make the Apostle Paul stronger. And he here is saying, I'm willing to endure this so that the Lord can use me. He was willing to suffer from this infirmity, and he was willing to suffer from all the things that he suffered so that the Lord could use him and that he could be stronger. And you know, a lot of people in this church in recent months have suffered from numerous afflictions. There's been car accidents, there's been cellulitis infections, more than one, which is quite odd. There's been colds, sicknesses, flus, all sorts of problems. In fact, almost everyone here has suffered in one way or another. But I believe that all of that suffering is going to make this church stronger. And you know, it's really amazing to me because so many of us did suffer. And then we had that Passover service, which was so wonderful. And I feel like God was perfecting us for that day and making us stronger in our afflictions, in our sufferings. And I am hoping that there will be more services like that one in the coming days. I believe he is going to make us stronger through our sufferings, because I know a lot of you have had problems, health problems, so many problems, but God will strengthen his people. And those sufferings, just as they made the Apostle Paul stronger, will make us stronger too. As long as you never give up and never lose hope. Verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Oh yes, we find strength in our weakness. And we may have to suffer things sometimes, but the end result is going to be greater faith, stronger faith. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, it tells us, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I like that already. We have the promise of life, and we have that promise in Christ Jesus. Praise God. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And that's a wonderful verse, isn't it? We don't have to be afraid of anything as long as we know the Lord is with us. We might suffer, but that doesn't mean we have to be afraid. Verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. You know, something that does often accompany the gospel in this world is afflictions. If you go out there and you share the gospel, there are going to be people out there who don't like it very much. Thankfully, in this country, you can mostly do that and be unharmed by it, although people will be ugly towards you and they may complain, and sometimes police might arrest you for disturbing the peace if you try to share the gospel. Isn't that something? The gospel of peace, and they accuse you of disturbing the peace. Of course, we know in other countries there are far greater afflictions that accompany the gospel. Places where you can be put to death just for having a Bible. And yet there are people who deem it worth it. Praise the Lord. Verse 9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. All the sufferings are worth it because we have that promise of eternal life. And we can take on his immortality. We have no immortality of our own, but Jesus has immortality. Verse 11, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Oh, yes, there are sufferings in this world, but we don't have to be ashamed if we're suffering for the right reasons. Because we know who we believed on, the Lord Jesus. And we can be persuaded that he is able to keep that which we have committed unto him against that day. That means if our sins are covered, if our sins are washed away by his blood, he's not going to hold them to our charge on judgment day. Verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. And thank God for the Holy Ghost that dwells inside us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. There were a lot of people who forsook Paul and betrayed him. And sometimes even people we consider friends will do that to us. Don't count that a great surprise when it happens, because look what happened to the Lord Jesus. Look how he was forsaken. Even the majority of his disciples, his apostles, ran away at the time of crucifixion. You know, there was only one disciple there at the cross with Jesus, and that was John. And interestingly enough, all of the other disciples were martyred and killed, but John lived to old age. And of course, we know that he was that special disciple that Jesus loved. But, you know, when you look at what happened to Jesus, it shouldn't be any surprise that similar things might happen to us. We might have friends who betray us, forsake us. And sometimes it's difficult to understand why, but that is one of the things that happens in this world. It's very sad, but we have to keep pressing on, even in the face of all adversity. A lot of people gave up on Paul and turned away from him, but he didn't give up. Verse 16, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Chapter 2, continuing on. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ Jesus, of Jesus Christ. And that's an important verse too. It tells us to endure hardness. And really, what are we? We are soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean we go out there with swords and staves and guns and bombs and weapons and wage wars in the physical world. No, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We fight a different battle. We wage war against the enemy. We wage war against the devil. And I tell you what, he wants you to forget how strong you can be in the Lord. Even if you are physically weak, you can be strong in the Lord. And he does not want you to know that. He wants you to forget. He wants you to feel sorry for yourself. He wants you to feel downtrodden. But even when we're suffering, the Lord can lift us up and give us strength. Praise the Lord. Verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. In other words, we need to lay aside all those distractions that prevent us from serving the Lord Jesus. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman, and husbandman, that's a word that basically means farmer, and one who would often deal with fruits and crops and so forth. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. And it's interesting to hear that the Apostle Paul calls it my gospel. And that's fine. It's really the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's okay to own that gospel. It's okay to say that that's my gospel, that that's our gospel. Because the Lord Jesus gave it to us. Verse 9, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Oh, he wore those chains, and he suffered a lot of trouble, but he knew something very important, and that is that the word of God is not bound. There's nothing anyone can do to restrict the word of God. They might try, but God will do what he will do, and no one is going to stop him, not even that evil little dictator over in North Korea. Verse 10, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. You see, that's why it's worth it to endure. We can endure the struggles of this life, the sufferings of this life, because we know what the end result is, the end result of our faith, and that is salvation. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. You know, it doesn't matter what people may say. They may profess to be atheists. They may say they don't believe on the Lord, but that doesn't change the fact that He is real, that He is sovereign, that He is in control, that He is in charge. It doesn't change that He is faithful, and it doesn't change that His will always be done. He is faithful. And if we suffer, it tells us in verse 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. Praise God. Oh, He makes us so strong in our sufferings. Sometimes we have to go through these things, and it's not easy. It's not enjoyable, but it sure does strengthen us. I want to go to 1 Peter chapter 5 now. We started in 1 Peter, and we're going back there. I guess you could say today's message was brought to us primarily by the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter. Of course, God used them. This is all God's Word, God's inspired Word. But He used those men to write these things down. 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5, and beginning with verse 1, it tells us, "The elders which are among you I exhort, whom am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." Remember that glory that would follow His sufferings? And here the Apostle Peter is making mention of those sufferings again, saying, "I am a witness of those sufferings." And he experienced some of the sufferings for the cause of Christ too. And he was a partaker of the glory, and still is a partaker of the glory. And we get to be partakers of that glory too. Verse 2, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." You know, if God has called someone to be a minister, it should be something that is done out of a desire to strengthen and help God's people. It should never be done as something that is just done to make money. But some of these people, they accrue millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. And, you know, if something like that ever happened to me, I tell you what, I'd get to a point where I'd tell people, "I just don't need any more." But you never see these guys say that. And that's baffling to me. Some of these guys, they got tens of millions of dollars. And why do they need all that? And what are they going to do with it? I don't know, but ministering for God's sake and ministering to God's people should never be done for filthy lucre's sake. Verse 3, "Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock." And that's another important verse, because as ministers, we're not supposed to lord over every aspect of your life. You know, some of these people, they follow a man so strongly that they just got these pastors sometimes who are almost like cult leaders, and they feel like they have to ask permission to do any little thing. And, you know, call them up in the morning, "Should I eat cornflakes or bran flakes this morning?" You know, don't ever do that with me. I don't want that. It's not my job to lord over everybody and micromanage your lives and tell you that you got to do this and you got to do that, and, you know, and tell you what to do with your money and things of that nature. People will actually do that sometimes, but that's not how it's supposed to be. In fact, primarily what ministers are supposed to do is serve as examples and samples to the flock. Verse 4, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Ye of all you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." And that's true. You know what pride is? Pride is a salvation inhibitor. So you should make sure you don't have any pride in your life. Because God will save the humble. But if you're proud, you can't be saved, because if you're proud, you're not going to think you need to be saved. You see, that's how pride works. When people are proud, they're proud of themselves and what they've accomplished in life. And they fail to remember that the only reason we're able to do anything is because the Lord allows us to. But it's so true. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. We do suffer in this life. We do go through painful things, but he will exalt us in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And that's wonderful, isn't it, that he cares about us so deeply? And we can cast our cares upon him. We can go to him in prayer. We know that he hears every prayer. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And that is the major reason there's so much suffering in the world today, because of that filthy devil. Walking about as a lion, roaming about, seeking whom he may devour. But we can take comfort even in this verse, because it says, seeking whom he may devour. If you belong to the Lord, he cannot devour you. Verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Like I said, our sufferings do not make us unique, because everyone suffers. And God's people, that's true of God's people too. And the Apostle Peter here is telling us, these same afflictions, the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. We will suffer sometimes for a while, but he does exalt us in due time. He establishes his people. He strengthens his people. He settles his people. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, we do endure many sufferings in this life, but it's going to be worth it all in the end. Let's look at Revelation chapter 21 in closing. Revelation 21. Revelation 21, beginning with verse 1, tells us, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. That sea that divides us in this world from the next, one day that sea is going to be gone, and we're not going to have to be in this world anymore. We are going to be with the Lord forever. In eternity. Verse 2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. That's what you have to look forward to. These sufferings in this life are but for a little while. But there's glory to come. Verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And that's the only thing that's going to quench your thirst. Oh. Praise the Lord. Yeah. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Of course, we know that applies to men and women, all who belong to the Lord. Oh yes, we will be his children. We will live with him in glory in heaven. And you are not going to remember the sufferings of this life at that time. But I tell you what, it will be worth it. Everything that you've endured will be worth it in the end if you hold fast to the Lord Jesus and never let go. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this morning, thanking thee for thy goodness, thanking thee for thy promises, thanking thee for the strength that we find even in our weakness. And we pray, Lord, that thou would strengthen all thy people. We ask, O God, that thou would strengthen this church. Help us, O God, to be more like thee, to draw nigh unto thee, to fulfill thy perfect plan. Help us, O God, to look to thee as the author and the finisher of our faith, to look to thee as the Savior. Help us, O God, strengthen us by thy mighty hand. We pray, Lord, that thou would help each and every one of us to be obedient to thy Spirit, the prompting of the Holy Ghost, and help us, O God, to always do thy will. Walk with us, we pray. Lead us in all things we ask, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.
Can I the song?
Sure. Which one is it?
No, page 209.
209? 209. Okay. Yeah, I guess we can give this a whirl. All right, 209, Onward Christian Soldiers.
Going on before Christ the Lord.
Yes, that song was very appropriate. Praise God. You are dismissed under prayer in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.